Hey guys, it's your man Moses Mania coming to you from Fenway Faithful Podcast. And today is another special episode as me and Dave do another split podcast with the guys over from Blue Jays Today Podcast. The Blue Jays Today Podcast was on and we talked about rosters and they asked us some interesting questions. It was more like an interview than a podcast. Either way, awesome guys and we can't wait to do it again. Guys, also make sure to check out the full podcast as me and Dave go over the roster, the standings, and how we feel the season's going to go. It was a great episode all in all, and I'm so pumped for you guys to listen to it. But before we get into the episode, make sure to check out FenwayFaithfulSports.com as you can catch all our articles on the Red Sox written by yours truly, myself. And also check out the boys over at Blue Jays Today Podcast. Go to their Instagram, check out their YouTube page, check them out, and make sure next week you check out our next episode with Sots Studios, Sots Talk Studios. That's our next week's guest. But guys, I don't want to hold you too long. This is a great episode. And before you go, if you're going to be watching the games, make sure you get a lucky shirt. And don't just wear any lucky Red Sox shirt. Wear a wickedpissa.com shirt. They have all the great gear, comfortable, awesome designs, fresh. You can't say more about it. And when you go check them out, make sure you use the code FFS15. That's right, FFS15. Anyway, guys, thank you for all the support. Give us a follow on Instagram. Give us a follow on Facebook. Give us a follow on YouTube. Fenway Faithful Sports. Fenway Faithful Podcast. This is for you guys. Thank you for all the support, and let's go. Baseball is back.
The fuck? All right, we're going. We're live.
Yeah. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Fenway Faithful, episode 11. A day away from Red Sox opening day. As usual, my co-host, Moses Mania. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I've been better, Dave. Today is a exciting, sad day. I'm excited for opening day tomorrow, but I am sad that the rumors have come to life. The MCL Act is now officially dead as Mookie Betts signed his soul over to the Los Angeles Dodgers for 13 years or 12 years, $360
million. Yeah, 12-year deal, $365 million. It's a little strange this time for opening day. It is a bittersweet kind of feeling. We got baseball back. But we lost Mookie for good. So just being part of Red Sox Nation, it's kind of hard to deal with. And just we have to accept and move forward. But you know what? We've lost big players before, and we've pushed through it. And, I mean, 4 World Series in 10 years, man. I think we can overcome this again. And it's not the end of the world.
If we can overcome losing Lester and overcome losing – Ellsbury after 13 and many other guys, we didn't overcome this. It caught me off guard. I felt a little lied to. You know, his whole time last year in Boston was he didn't want to sign with the Red Sox. He wanted to test the free agency waters and he wanted to feel it out and he wanted to be a free agent. Yeah. And then he goes that way and he never fucking pressed the waters. He just signed right away. So I kind of felt a little hurt on it. But you know what? Good for him. He deserves the money. And, hey, man, if the money was in Boston, but the years weren't, apparently. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. I think a lot of us just had high hopes and thinks, you know, thinking that, you know, he'd go to L.A. and spend some time out there and, you know, hopefully it'll kind of help him make his decision. But from what it looks like he's happy in L.A. He's also got a newborn. You know, he's just had a newborn. So I think decisions like that and those kind of elements, you know, kind of helped. But, I love Mookie. I wish him the best of luck. He signed a hell of a deal. That's the largest, biggest signing in Major League history, right after Mike Trout. So – best of luck to Mookie, and you know, I guess when he comes to Fenway, we'll see whether we receive him with open arms or boom, Mookie. So I think people are going to love him regardless.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're on point with that. So other than that, Dave, it's opening fucking day tomorrow.
Yeah, you read my mind. Enough with the sad news. Let's get on to the good shit. Today is officially opening day for Major League Baseball. It is July 23rd. Tonight, big game, Yankees versus the Nationals. Quick update, Juan Soto tested positive for coronavirus, so he will not be playing today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was actually joking with a Yankee. One of my buddies talking shit to him about the Yankees, and I was like, yeah, I hope Juan Soto takes fucking Gerrit Cole 350 dead center. And we were just joking about it. And then literally seconds after, I get an update. Soto's out for today. So either way, though, it's going to be – I think it's a good matchup. I'm excited to see. I'm going to watch it definitely a couple of buddies and see what happens. So, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait. And then you got the Dodgers and the Giants tonight, Cueto versus Kershaw. So you'll see Mookie Best tonight with his new team. And that's exciting too, man. It's always a rivalry match right there. So it's exciting. Two games tonight. Everybody plays tomorrow. Sox play the Orioles tomorrow. Nash and Nate at the Hill.
You know who's pitching for Baltimore or no?
Shit. Yes, I do. Fuck, I just had this. Just give me a minute. I just had it up. My article will be dropping today also on Nasty Nate pitching.
Definitely check out Moses's new article. That way, faithfulsports.com. Well, we get our ducks in line here and see who the
Malone's pitching.
Okay.
He's coming off he was an Oriole last year, so he can't really have a good year as an Oriole. Tommy Malone last year, he was 4-10 with a 4.76 ERA in 112 innings of baseball. He doesn't strike a lot of guys out. So, you know, Nasty Nate coming off an amazing performance in both spring trainings. Tommy Malone plays for Baltimore Orioles. I don't think we got to say much more. Dave, you know, I sent you the schedule. We can get into it. Opening day is here. We'll get into the schedule. Red Sox got to handle their business. They got to beat these Orioles 10 games this year. They got to 10-0 against these.
So let me ask you something. You feel extremely confident about our opening series versus Baltimore then?
Yeah. You have to. You got to treat this like a sprint. This isn't a marathon this season. And, you know, they have to sweep. If they don't win 8 games out of the 10 against the Orioles, they're not making the playoffs. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, definitely. I had to watch a little bit of yesterday's summer camp game, but unfortunately because of the rain, you know, they had to end it early. But I think the Red Sox are right there. I mean, we had a no-no until, like, the bottom of the fourth. Yeah, so
Josh made that missile up against fucking Vladdy.
Yeah, Vladdy, and then who hit another one back to back? I think, wasn't it?
No, he hit the 2-run. I think the day before. Yeah, just Vladdy yesterday. That was it.
I think it was Vladdy and Bichette, to be honest with you. But anyways, I'm not entirely sure. But so back to opening day. So that game is at 7:30 tomorrow.
All the games are at 7:30 now this year. No 7 o'clock starts. They moved them back a half hour. I like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited, man. So are these home? These are home games, right? Technically or no?
Yeah, they're home games.
Okay.
They don't leave Boston, I think, till they play the Mets next week.
So are they going to be – they're going to be playing at Fenway, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They play 3 against the Orioles at Fenway, 2 against the Mets at Fenway. Then they go to Citi Field for 2. Then they go on the Yankee Stadium to enter in August. So
next week's going to be pretty cool because it'll be a Friday night versus the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. So that'll be a cool Friday night, you know, hang out. Watch some good baseball there. Definitely been waiting for the rivalry to come back.
That's it, man. Can't wait.
So let me ask you something. So for tomorrow, I mean, obviously with the couple of spring training games we've had, as far as your lineup, you know, we obviously know the big names like JD, JBJ, Bogey. But what do you think that outfield is going to look like tomorrow?
You know, it's interesting. First day they had Verdugo out there. Second day they had Pilar out there. I think we're going to see Verdugo day one. I think we're
going to see it. Yeah. I agree.
the same lineup they put out there for their first spring training game, I think we're going to see. So we're going to probably see Benintendi, JD, Devers, Bogarts, Moreland, Vasquez, Verdugo, Bradley. Second base, I think, is going to be, instead of Peraza, we're going to see Chavez. That's the only change I see. And they'll probably move Chavez behind Moreland and Vasquez to the nine spot.
Yeah, you know what? So I actually like Michael Chavez at second. He's the Red Sox made him a second baseman pretty much last season. He was not a natural second baseman. They tried him out, and he looked all right at second.
And he worked at Pedroia last year, and this year at spring training for that, he worked a lot at it. So he's getting help from everybody he needs to. And, it's, you know, that's the Red Sox way. Verdugo had Ortiz shadowing him a little bit. Veritek helps out Vasquez. Pedroia helps out Chavez. You know, it doesn't get better than that, man. You know, these guys –
with Michael Chavez, you know, now stepping in and possibly taking that second baseman position, do you think Chavez has it in him to be a utility player? Can he be our new Brock Holt?
He doesn't need to be. He doesn't need to be. That's why they let Brock Holt walk. I thought about that this morning, like, damn. Because I watched Brewers last night and I watched Brock play. Oh, by the way, all I've been watching is the MLB app. I haven't not watched baseball in the last 24 hours. I'm canceling my Netflix and my Hulu, and I'm just watching baseball. So watching, catching up on lost time. But watching last night, like watching Brock Holt, I'm like, damn, I miss him. But it's almost like you got Devers at third and Bogarts at short. They're going to play all sissy games this year. Chavez to move to third, and then move Peraza to second. So that's the only move I will see Chavez doing is third and second. And then first, you have Moreland. You're going to have Dahlback probably there. You got other options there. So you don't got to really worry about moving Chavez out of the infield. And the outfield, they're just stacked. You have Bradley, Pilar, Benintendi, JD can go out there.
Verdugo.
Verdugo's out there. Exactly. So there's five guys right there. I mean, in a 60-game season, you don't need that utility guy. They got three catchers. I think Lucroy is still there. So they're carrying Lucroy and Paletti. I think the roster comes out later today. So when we get the full official roster, we didn't talk about that next week. But right now, it looks real solid. It looks real solid, honestly. Outside of Ryan Brazier's ninth inning of the first spring training game, you want to call it, the fucking bullpen looked great. Fucking Roman Workman had a 1-2 inning. Barnes made one bad pitch, but you didn't argue the same about Weber. Weber made one bad pitch the other night, and it cost him. So they're heavy underdogs. Everybody thinks the pitching's not good. It's not there, but Zach Godley, two scoreless innings yesterday, two strikeouts, one walk, no hits. Brian Johnson is just Brian Johnson. He's not going to throw a lot of strikes, but he's going to give us innings. And we're going to really see what Chaim Bloom's made of in this pitching staff, like we've been talking about.
No, absolutely. I like a point that you made about, you know, our outfield and the infield. There seems to be a lot of flexibility there. And the way that I see it is these guys are super confident. I think we have the ability to not only put ourselves – to have a good season, but it seems right now a lot of area of focus is on the bullpen and how they're going to perform and what the depth is going to go into, you know, with the new acquisition of Zach Cody and I just think all around, we just got to sit back and see if Chaim Bloom's investments are really going to be worth it. I honestly think so. But like you said, it's 60-game season. So there's a sense of like, you have that fire under your ass. Like, you know, like these guys have been dying to get out there. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait to turn on my TV tomorrow and watch some Red Sox baseball.
And I mean, I know it was spring training. It was two games, but they just looked so comfortable playing. Like Xander Bogaerts says, like he's playing in a video game. He looks so relaxed at home plate. JD looks relaxed. I mean, Mitch Moreland looks like he hasn't played.
I have noticed that, not only with the Red Sox. I mean, it's all around. But I personally think because there are no fans there,
it's just relaxing.
There's a sense of relaxation, and it's like, You know, when you're a kid and you just have the sandlot, you're just playing around, man, and having the best time of your life, and you're laughing and joking around in the dugout. I think that's what these guys have right now.
Me too.
Go out there and have fun. When we were kids, what did our coaches always tell us?
Have fun.
Just have fun and watch everything roll perfectly. So I'm liking it. It's different. It's funny because as I was watching the game yesterday, you can hear how they play the fan sounds.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, man?
So I like it. I mean, you know, I think it kind of gives them a sense of like, all right, you're not alone. You know, even though there aren't fans here, trust me, everybody's watching.
I think it was the Cubs and White Sox. Or no, the Cubs played. I forgot who they were playing yesterday. It might have been the White Sox or Brewers, one of the games. And they had cutouts behind home plate. And for a split second with the fan noise, I was like, wait, there's people there? And I had to like really like put my phone down and look at it. I'm like, oh no, that's just that noise in the background. It was fucking crazy, man. How they're doing it.
It's definitely, I don't want to say like eerie, but it's just different. You know, it's just absolutely different. Not seeing fans on the sideline, I mean, in the stands. And
It reminds me of minor league baseball when I played. You know, you have like 10 people in front of you, and that was it. And so that's all reminded me of, like, seeing guys come in the pitch and be a double, and they get up and just yell in the dugout. It's like, man, that's really what minor league baseball is at its finest. So I'm excited about that. So we'll go down the schedule real fast. So they're playing the NL East four times each. They're playing in the division 10 times each. What do you got? What's the record you got for them, Dave?
Oh, sorry, I got a sneeze coming. I apologize, everybody. My allergies are kicking my ass. So if I sound a little congested, now you know why.
Yeah, you laid up all night drinking.
Oh, man. I was a good boy. I was a good boy last night. Understandable. All right, so as far as record-wise goes, I want to say maybe – I mean, it's kind of tough.
All right, so let's do an over-under. And we'll start.
Yeah, I'm going to say at least, like, Red Sox get at the minimum, like, maybe, like, 28, 29 wins.
At the minimum.
At the minimum.
Okay.
Maybe more, and that's just me being fair. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because if I was to go out and say, yeah, fucking Red Sox are going to win 40 games out of 60, that's kind of pushing it, you know? We're not.
Do you think 35 is fair?
That was my first thought.
That's my thought right now.
33, 35.
I think tops is 38 wins. I think if they win 35, they're a wild card team. And 33, they're just going to miss the playoffs. I don't think there's going to be more than a 42-game winner this year in all of baseball.
I don't think so either. But you never know. You never know. Because there's always surprises where these teams just go on a fucking killing streak. And that's just the way – that's just the game of baseball.
No, yeah. I agree.
Baseball is the most unpredictable sport in the world. I don't care what anybody says. You can have your overtime. You can have your time. You can have extra overtime. But when you're sitting there at 1 in the morning watching a 15-inning game, anything can fucking happen.
And especially now, starting a man on second base in extra innings.
Yeah.
So I know last night's game was cut short. Did you watch any Monday night – not Monday, Tuesday night's game?
I was not able to because I was out, but I was getting the updates on my phone. But it's kind of hard to envision it when you're not watching it. So I was keeping up. I know we lost that first game 8-6. Yeah. We kind of ended up with the pitching in the ninth inning, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really concerned on the score. I mean, there was also a part of the game where they had bases loaded with no outs, and they had a lot of guys come up that, like, are AAA players, and the Blue Jays had, like, one of the regular starters in. Not saying they were overmatched, but you can definitely see there was a difference in the game where it could have been blown wide open. But I just asked this because Dennis Eckersley, Jerry Remy, and I forget the fucking third guy's name. He was at Winter Weekend. You know the announcer for them?
Oh, no. Back in my head.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, the name's not really important. So somehow Alice Cora came up because I think Remy or the other guy did an interview on MLB Network, and they legit said they believe Cora will be back in Boston.
Listen, lost Mookie, okay? But I, in my honest opinion, and I'm not trying to be a funny guy, I really fucking foresee Alex Cora coming back, okay? MLB did their little investigation on the Red Sox. Nothing was found. The fact that we lost a fucking draft pick for that, I guess it was MLB just saying, well, like, you know, we got to do something. We can't just fucking sweep it under the rug. But I personally think Cora is serving his suspension this year, so that it leaves room for the Red Sox to be like, all right, man, bring you back on. You know, the whole Ron Renicki thing, like, that's to me, that's temporary.
I think Renicki will have no problem. Like, even if he wants to coach another year, he'll have no problem going back to being his bench coach again.
No, man. They had a great relationship, you know, 2018. So I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. And I do not see why not bring Cora back.
I agree. He did his time. For a crime, he didn't do it. For a crime, he did somewhere else. And, you know, let it be.
Besides that, but like Cora and, you know, the upstairs office, they have a great relationship.
That's what they were saying. That's why I brought up.
Come on, bro. Cora said, Cora actually took the Red Sox plane back to Puerto Rico with him to go celebrate. When was the last time you seen an organization be like, yeah, Skip, go ahead, take the plane, go do what you got to do, come back, and then we celebrate back at home. That's right. Like, just by saying that, I think they have a great relationship. I personally think Cora will be back. If he doesn't, I get it. But then, not to get ahead of ourselves, but you got to bring in somebody strong, somebody with experience, if it's not going to be Cora.
Right. And, you know, if he doesn't come back, I didn't see Renicki doing one full season. But, like, he's already said he doesn't want to be here for long. He just wants to be here for right now. So that's it. Only way I see Cora not coming back next year is if Renicki does pull this off and win a World Series. Then we may see another year of Renicki. But, like we just talked about, we're looking at 35 wins, 38 mats. 33 the minimum, a wild card spot. I think if they get to 38, they're going to win the division, honestly. I don't think a division winner is going to be more than 42 to 40. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I can't wait for the season. I can't wait to see what happens in this season, especially playing playoff baseball in October. I just can't wait. I really can't. 60 games, and I think, 68 days is fucking crazy. Yeah. Baseball back.
It's aggressive, man. It's not going to be a walk in the park. That's for fucking sure. You know, we were just talking about this with the Blue Jays podcast. Awesome guys, by the way. Like, for example, you know, the Blue Jays aren't going to be playing in Canada, which means these guys are going to
have. They don't have a home still.
They don't have a home. These poor guys are going to be traveling hotel to hotel, you know, on the road all the time. Now, they'll be playing in Pittsburgh, but that's not, you know.
Oh, no, Pittsburgh turned it down this morning. Pittsburgh turned it down. The governor said no.
So they're back to square one. They don't have shit right now.
They don't have a pot to piss in right now.
Oh, damn Canada, man.
Well, hopefully they did Buffalo, like we talked about. On the interview that's coming in following this part of the podcast, we have an interview with the Blue Jays Today podcast. We talked about it on there, so make sure you guys stay on this episode and listen to that. But definitely don't have a home or anything. It's just crazy.
Well, I didn't even know that. You updated me. That's crazy, man.
I looked at it right before you called. They said it was pending. So I fell for fake news when I said, yeah, they got Pittsburgh. It was fake news. They were approved by the league. They didn't use Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Pirates allowed it, and the governor of Pittsburgh said, nope, not happening.
Oh, I mean, yeah, think about it. That's four times the foot traffic in that stadium.
That's why they said no. So, hey, man, we're going to just have to wait and see now.
Oh, man, that must be tough. I wonder what they're going to do. But, you know, we'll hear more about it. Yeah. But if you want to shout out our sponsors, our boys at Wicked Pizza.
Got to shout our boys out at Wicked Pizza. Guys, if you are looking for some fresh Red Sox or Boston gear, go to wickedpizza.com. Oh, my God, Dave, I had on their legend shirt last night before I went to bed, the Larry Bird one, and it was so comfortable. I didn't want to take it off today before I got to work. I wore it to work and changed at work. It was so comfortable. I love it. I love the material. I love the look. I love the designs. Guys.
Hey, man, super comfortable. I had one of the Fenway long sleeves on last night. I like to keep the house nice and cool with the AC.
Oh, yeah.
Super comfy, man. Guys, don't forget, check them out. Awesome New England gear. They're always putting up new merchandise. Don't forget, what's the code? Oh.
FFX15. So it's the Fenway Faithful Sports Initials 15 for your discount. So you save some money. Guys, you save money and get awesome gear at the same time. Who the fuck doesn't like that?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And we might have some Fenway Faithful merchandise coming out. We'll That's see right. what's going to happen.
That's so, right. We're in the toss for some gear, guys. Hopefully so.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to cover anything else, any last minute things before we
Head over to the interview. Well, before we head over to our interview with our boys at the Blue Jays talk today, I want to make sure everybody knows next week, our next guests will be having – Sox Talk Studios on. Our boy Isaac, he's a blogger. He has a YouTube channel and everything. He's going to come on. We're going to talk about this more movie best stuff and Alex Cora and the roster with him. Huge Sox fan, good guy. And make sure you check him out on Instagram at Sox Talk Studios. Next week, he's supposed to be on. We've been in talk. He's really interested in doing a split pod. And we like talking Red Sox baseball. And guys, we'll talk with anybody. So you want to be a guest? Shout us out. Let us know. Maybe we didn't set it up. Thank God for Skype and Zoom that we use for all our interviews lately. We can do it anytime. Other than that, guys, make sure you go check out the Blue Jays today on Instagram. Check them out on YouTube. Remember, they're not the Yankees, so we don't hate them. They're like our little brothers of our division. They're trying to grow, and when they grow, we just grow bigger. Anything else?
Check them out at Blue Jays today. Podcast. I ain't got much else, Mo.
Man, baseball's back tomorrow, brother.
Like a kid in a candy store, man. So
I'm 30. I'll be at your house tomorrow. I'm bringing some type of whiskey. It's my last opening day of it's my only and last opening day of my 30, and then I'm 31. That's podcast. Oh my God.
Yeah, man, you're getting old. Guys, Mo's birthday is on Monday, so show him some love. We're gonna get a little crazy on Monday. I don't know what we're doing yet, but we'll figure it out.
We're on a crazy Sunday into Monday. We're gonna go fishing.
That's right. That's right. I'm going fishing on Sunday, and then probably Monday again. Who knows? Oh, God. But all right, guys. I love you as usual. Thank you for everything. Everybody, enjoy opening day.
And we are out.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having us on.
No problem. Hello,
gentlemen. So, you guys have your own podcast as well? Are we talking exclusively about Boston Red Sox, or you guys talk about other stuff too?
This season's been all Red Sox. Season one, we experimented and covered everything in sports, and our episodes is like 3 hours long per episode.
Yeah.
It was a little OD on too much. And, The reason behind our podcast was all Red Sox. Me and this guy are big Red Sox fans. We were drunk at a bar one night. Like, let's do a fucking podcast about the Red Sox. And I was like, I'm getting
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally, me and him were just hanging out one night, and all we do is just, you know, as buddies, just talk baseball. And after a few beers, you know, the name Fenway Faithful came out. And we're like, you know what, man, screw it. We can either sit on it or we can just go for it. And here we are. So with this season in particular, we just decided for the Red Sox fans that we were just going to stick to Red Sox baseball primarily.
And I mean, it has kicked off. You know, our episodes are getting a lot of views, a lot of listens, and now we've even incorporated sponsors now. So, I mean, talk about a send off for 2020. So,
yeah, we made a coronavirus and made it a positive somehow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And now baseball's back. So, who the fuck ain't ready for that?
Yeah. Seriously. That's how about you, yeah? Sponsors and everything, too. That's something that we're working towards.
Yeah. I mean, thanks to Mo here. You know, he's the guy. I just call myself the voice. That's it. But behind the scenes, guy with the blogs and talking to sponsors and just, you know, networking is everything for podcasting and just getting your voice out there. So yeah.
Yeah, like when I reached out to you guys and you guys asked why, you know, little podcasts like this that I do these podcasts to make them grow and to help each other. And you're Blue Jay fans, Red Sox fans. We have two things in common. One, we love baseball. And two, fuck the Yankees. So, you know, that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
And that's how, you know, we got to help each other. And, you know, the sponsors will come. And just keep working like you guys are. You guys are doing great. You got an awesome setup there. It was like, I was excited to start following each other. Right away, I was like, we got to get these guys on. And it just made sense.
Yep.
You guys started following us. Blue Jays are playing the Red Sox in two exhibition games. It's fucking baseball season, boys. Who the fuck ain't ready about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that, man. Our team playing your team. Who's going to win these, like, fucking preseason games right now? What do we think, gentlemen?
It's weird because, like, Nasty Nate ain't pitching for us. Ryu ain't pitching for you.
Yeah.
And it's only two teams. So, like, I go to spring training every year, and it's like – after the fifth inning, number 98 pitching against number 91, and you have no interest, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to do these two games. Are they going to play four innings of real baseball and five innings of the backups or what? It's going to be interesting.
Well, I think one thing that kind of threw things out of a loop is, I mean, obviously Toronto is going to be visiting Boston College for the two spring training games.
Right.
But I think this is an opportunity for both teams to kind of – go out there and see what potential they have as far as their young players all the way up to, you know, the veterans on the team. But these are two teams that have a lot of young players. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen on the mound behind the plate, you know, and I'm looking forward to it, especially with, you know, with the young studs you guys have now.
Yeah.
You know,
I said it last season and I've been saying it to him, I'm excited for us to play, but I'm excited to watch your young core play.
Absolutely.
And see what they're going to do with
you know, Vladdy, you know, Biggio, like it's
crazy like how like much we hear like from other sports teams that like how excited they are just to watch us play. And like you can't even imagine how excited we are. Like the ceiling is so high.
And it feels good as a Blue Jays fan to know that it's like this isn't like me, like, with my Blue Jays bias going, it's like, okay, like, one day we're going to be good, man. No, it's like the league has decided these guys actually have some young talent and some potential right now. And, you know, it might not be this year. It might not even be next year. But I can promise you, boys, one year soon, you would better watch out for the Toronto motherfucking Blue Jays, brother.
I mean, listen, it happened for the Red Sox. It happened for the Cubs. You know what I mean? Why not? Why can't it happen for Toronto Blue Jays?
I agree.
And it's not like it's been forever either, you know? But I definitely see that happening.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you guys have to be happy, too. Your ownership spent some money getting Ryu this year. That's a good deal for you.
Because
really, over the years, your offense has never struggled. It's been the pitching that you guys really struggle with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The biggest holes is definitely our pitching rotation. Obviously, our bullpen's going to get a lot weaker once Giles leaves, which we're going to talk about in another podcast.
Yeah, it's very possible we're going to trade him for something hopefully good.
And then our outfield, definitely. That's why we made that Reynolds video, because we were like, we need something else. Asking for more bats is kind of crazy.
We were actually, right before this video, right before we got on, I literally turned to Adam and I was like, God damn, man. I want Alex Verdugo.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, when we ended up landing Verdugo, I mean, when you lose a player like Mookie Betts, I mean, first of all, that's tough enough to deal with as it is. And along with him, of course. And along with him, David Price, which even just made it worse. especially coming off of World Series and losing two key guys like that. It really sucked. It wasn't ideal, but we understand, after all, it is a business. But Lenny Verdugo, a young talent, he's got many years ahead of him. I think he has a lot of room to grow as a professional. And I think the Red Sox organization is a place that he can absolutely do that. And, I mean, he has made that active roster, and he made the opening day list. So, I mean, I think we have something to look forward to.
And we got Jeter Downs in that deal, too.
Jeter Downs with that as long.
Now, have you guys had your roster? What happened?
Tell us about him. I'm not too familiar with this guy.
Jeter Downs is one of the highest prospects in the Red Sox system and of all of baseball. So he was really high up there. We were surprised to get him in that deal, but it's sweet spot. He'll probably be up in 2 years, but they had real high. And he's really high. Did your guys' roster get officially put in yet or no?
Not yet. We're still sitting on that 60 player pool, but what I'm really hoping is that we can I see it very unrealistic because we literally just drafted this guy, but just kidding, putting Austin Martin to get playing time because he is 21, he's older, and he'd fit perfectly. Even if he was just a bench guy, just with the team, I would wish that he would be included in the roster.
Well, and this season's the best season, I think, right now, the best opportunity to be man, screw it. Just give the kid a shot, right? It's 60 games. This could just be a trial and error season for all we know. I'm not sure, bro, but obviously the kid's got talent. I want to see him have a couple of bats, at least.
So sure. You would start his clock right away and just start paying him?
That's a good question, actually.
Baseball is a good business, right? Vladdy didn't come up for, 17 games last year because of delayed his clock. Yeah. So would you start his clock right away?
That is true.
It's something that, the organization is going to need to look at. We're actually doing something similar with Nate Pearson right now.
Mm.
He's definitely going to be coming up into the rotation at some point this season. But they're going to choose not to have him for the first week.
Yeah.
Just because we literally gain an extra year of service time with this guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, what am I going to take? One start of Nate Pearson or a whole year of Nate Pearson? I'm going to take a whole fucking year of Nate Pearson.
Yeah. So Mo and I actually discussed something similar on our past episode about starting young players or whether or not they're going to get that playing time. For example, our third and fourth draft pick, I believe, Jordan Blaze and Nicky York, they both got signed a couple weeks ago. I think the top was $2.2 million. And, I mean, these kids, amazing prospects. And he spent some time in the minors. How long was it?
A year,
right? But just from his experience, no matter how good you are, you're still young and you still have to build that experience. So most ball clubs, unless they're really desperate, you're gonna go spend some time in the farm until you prove yourself that you're ready to go to the show. And I think, as when you're sitting in that dugout, players are responsible for what happens on the field, but as the skipper, you got to know which is the best guy to put in that position.
Absolutely.
And also, the hard part with this year is, and you guys have a point, is let him play for the exposure for 60 games. I would not want to be drafted in the minors right now. Because if you got drafted, there's no rookie ball, there's no rookie camps, there's no low A, there's no single A, there's nothing. Which doesn't really affect the guys in double and triple A. It's just another year off for them to work at home and get ready. Yeah. But when you're in low A and rookie ball, that's the hardest years of your life, because you go from college where a guy may throw 94, was that 90, to where now you're going to see guys consistently 95, 94, secondary pitches, third pitches. So it's rough. I get what you're saying, but I would just keep him off to the side. Don't start his clock, because another thing is, you bring him up and say he has 40 at-bats and he strikes out 20 of the 40 and maybe just three hits. Thompson's going into a full year next year is just in the shit house. You don't want to kill a young guy like that.
Yeah, so definitely want to keep
get into his head. I understand that absolutely. Yeah, I think maybe from our perspective, it'd be a great opportunity for him to get some exposure with the guys, the team as a whole, but maybe not thrown into that, you know, like big league atmosphere, like 100% yet. Because you're right, he's a young kid. He might not be ready for that, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, you want to keep that confidence up and going, you know, for when that moment when you do need him. You know, that kid's coming hot out the tunnel and giving everything he's got. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So, definitely. I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think about the division this year? Do you guys think you're going to beat us, come in third place, maybe even win the division? Or you guys think
you're best? I'll let you go first because I have my own take on not only the division, but just baseball all around.
So, I'll let you go first. The division's up in the air because – the Evil Empire really isn't that good as people put them on.
I don't think so.
And with you guys being in that bubble of being a mediocre or good team, it just makes things so much better. Obviously, the Orioles suck, right? Yeah. You can call that. The Rays are going to be there.
They're trying.
And now
they're trying.
And now with you guys there, it's going to be a tough one. The 10 games we play each other is going to be intense. It's going to be great. And honestly, it's all about what you guys do more than what we do against the Evil Empire and more what the Rays do against them because you're like that wild card team.
Yeah. I mean, look at last year. The Blue Jays and the Red Sox were back and forth.
Right. So I see us in a second place or first place finish.
Yeah.
Because the one thing we're noticing, we talked about it on our last episode, they're building the pitching that nobody knows about. So everybody has it written off. And the last two times the Red Sox written off like this was 13 and 18, and we know what happened. And even in 16 and 17, when they wrote off the Red Sox, oh, they're not that good, they won the division. So I'm going off what I see. Here's the new GM came. He made all these moves. But
I'm sure about that pitching because I'm going to be honest. I am one of those guys who have written off the Red Sox pitching, not the lineup. I think that the lineup is top five in the league, in my opinion. Like, your batting lineup is elite. But your pitching, in my opinion, from looking at the surface stats, needs a little bit of work. So tell me, like, what are you guys doing to make that happen?
Well, everybody looks at Nathan Eovaldi, your opening day starter from last year. Mm-hmm. But the guy, we talked about this last year too, the guy only had those numbers last year because they weren't in it. They believe they kind of sold themselves short. They were done. They were shopping Mookie the whole second half of the season. And when he got off his elbow surgery, they didn't want to have him go pitch in AAA. Let him pitch in the bigs. Let him get big league experience, big league at bats. We're still paying the guy $25 million a year. So let him get that exposure and that work in. So as a baseball player and a baseball fan, it makes sense. But as a naive fan, it's like, that fucking guy sucks. His ERA is in the fives. But all he was doing is putting in work. You know, if he had 90 pitches through three, they were pulling him. He had 90 pitches in nine, they're letting him stay in. Where this year, you're going to see more of an older Nathan Eovaldi. You're going to see the experience. So that's our one start.
Now, also, it was just announced, I think, 2 days ago, that Erod's been cleared of COVID, so he's ready to get back into action. But also, one thing that most of I noticed since the offseason was that the new president of operations for baseball, Hein Bloom, this is a guy that has been focusing on that bullpen.
Right.
You know, he's new to the organization. And when we saw him at Winter Meeting, you know, we had a chance to go to a town hall discussion, if you will. And he really made that point, you know, is I was brought here to make this organization better, just as anybody would say, you know. But he has emphasized a lot on the pitch. I mean, he just picked up a pitcher, well, less than a week and a half ago, just to throw into the rotation. So the depth is there. I think it's just going to take time for us to find out who are the top six or seven guys that are going to be utilized as far as, you know, when it goes to serious moments.
And not just with us. We're going to see a lot of this all throughout baseball. You're going to see a lot of openers this year.
Yeah.
You may see, like, a Red Sox with two openers. We're going to have Eovaldi, Erod, probably Mazza or Perez, right? So that's our big four. And Perez was on a team won 100 games last year. He's a good pitcher, and he pitches at Fenway Park. His numbers at Fenway Park are like video game numbers. He's under one ERA. He has a lot of strikeouts, and he gets a lot of outs. And his innings is averaging around seven. So that's a solid pickup. That everyone's like, nah, he's not that good. His ERA is in the fours. But at Fenway, he pitches. And that's all you got to do is pitch at Fenway. So They have four good starters, and then they have a lot of openers that are available.
And here's another thing, like you know Matt Shoemaker. So we have Matt Shoemaker, and like mm-hmm. I remember like he was coming off an injury, and like he hasn't pitched in a while. He was kind of like up in the air, like what is this guy going to do? And that was one thing I was looking for. And then he hit big in the beginning. I think his ERA was like under two for the first month. He gets injured. And now right. It's a question mark. Is he going to do it again? We don't know. So like,
but his injury wasn't pitching. It was when he rolled his ankle up.
Oh, yeah. It was in
It was just dumb.
It wasn't like he blew his arm out. Yeah. I think Shoemaker's the best pitcher this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, like, he's one of my, like, definitely sleepers on the Blue Jays that, like, could be number two. Like, he's in our number four right now because we have Anderson and Roark being that number two and three. But I think Shoemaker's just a better pitcher than both those guys.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. So I have a question, you know, with the recent announcement that, unfortunately, there won't be any baseball in Toronto. What's the energy there like? I mean, for us in the States, you know, even though Fenway Park is technically, they're not allowed to be there, we can still sit outside of a stadium or something, whether they're playing the Yankees or the Mets. It's just a drive away. How's that feeling out there as far as knowing, you know, they're not going to be anywhere around?
I mean, I think, like, the people that I've talked to anyways, it seems like we're more or less just, like, kind of, like, feeling for the players right now. Like, you got to put it in perspective. It's like these like Toronto kids, like these young guys, because our team is so young, man. It's like they're literally like going to have to spend like months away from home, like in a hotel, like in places that they're not comfortable with. And I feel like we haven't even touched on enough. Like, will that affect their play? Maybe, you know, it's like the field stuff like really does impact like these young kids. So I just feel for them, man. It's like the sense that like, they're not even going to get an opportunity to, like, you know, be, like, where they're comfortable or in their own home or with their families. So, like, that's really kind of shitty in my opinion.
And I think just commenting on, like, the decision in general just to not play in Toronto. Like, you had the Ontario government approve, but they had to get approval from the federal. And the federal government denied us. So, and I can understand where it's coming from. You know, you have one Canadian team, and, you know, obviously the situation in the States is much heightened, more heightened than the situation in Canada. So, you know, we're doing well. We're on the downswing. And then you have the idea to the federal government going, hey, let's bring up 29 teams with 60, you know, plus people and personnel. It's like they immediately get freaked out and like, oh, like, no, which it's totally gettable. I get it. But I would have liked to see it happen as a fan, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's something tough to deal with as you know, as a fan, one. And two, you know, think about it. It's a 60 game season, which means every team's going to be rolling day after day. It's baseball after baseball. These guys aren't going to be resting the way they should be. They're not going to have, you know, those just wind, you know, just relax at home kind of days. Talk about sitting in a hotel for months and months on end.
Yeah.
So that's not comfortable to them. And I ultimately think that's something that's – it could take effect. Hopefully it doesn't, but I can understand where that can come from.
As a as an outsider, where do you guys want to see him play? In Buffalo or Florida?
Oh, honestly not Florida.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, we all know, like as soon as they touch base in Dunedin – A bunch of cases come up, and like, yeah, sure, may it happen again. Who knows?
I wouldn't want the boys in Florida either.
No, I think Buffalo is a place for them to play.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo's in New York. New York's kind of just figuring their stuff out, but Florida hasn't really got on board.
I would also say too, like, definitely Buffalo, because like, let's think about the boys who literally came out of Buffalo like very recently, like last year. Like, you got Vladdy, you got Bizier, you got Bichette. All these guys are comfortable in this environment, you know? It's like they're going to feel like they're going back home. And like, I don't know if you guys know, but Vladdy hit 381 when he was at
in
home
Buffalo.
There. Obviously, that was the minors. But hey, man, like, you know, like that plays into your mindset. You get confidence when you're back in a place like that.
Good,
you know?
Times. Yeah.
So
that's very, very true. So now you put us in the top five in offenses. Where do you put your own team in offense?
We actually did a video this, man, the other day. And I got to admit, you know, like some Blue Jays bias played into it, but we are not there yet.
We're not in the top 10. What we'd like to see, we'd like to see top 15, like literally 15. Like put us right in the middle at the end of this year. As a Blue Jays fan, I'll be happy with that. Last year, we were definitely not top 15. We were arguably bottom five. We were so garbage.
Yeah, like we literally had the worst batting average in the MLB, bro. Like Miami, Detroit, all these people are better than us. Like that is embarrassing.
That's just straight up embarrassing.
Well, listen. Toronto is doing something right because you guys at least, I mean, I'm not presently, but you're putting asses in those seats.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, a lot of it could be because of Vladdy and, you know, Bichet and some of the younger guys. You guys are obviously grabbing the attention of people. And that's quite frankly all you need. You know, compared to like a ball club like the Marlins, where those seats don't even get filled, they close off sections of the stadium. And I know Jeter's down there and he's trying to rebuild that ball club, but Toronto's still got something going. So, I don't see it being a while from now until you guys definitely make that top 15. I think ownership's going to do what they need to do to get there.
Yeah, like, man, I don't know if you guys have been to the Rogers Center, but, like, when we are hype about something, it is loud. Even on TV, you can hear it. It's insane. Yeah, it's a lot. If you saw Vladdy's debut, it was like a playoff game, every pitch. Even when he took a ground ball, it was like it was literally like a game-winning play in the play.
Well, we were watching, I think it was that game, and just him warming up.
Yeah.
Everybody's up taking pictures and he's trying to sign as many autographs as possible. And I'm like, when was the last time you seen a breakout kid like this? Granted, it's Vladdy, you know, son, but it's just wild. So you guys got that going for you, like I said.
Well, yeah. I feel like we should like wrap it up soon, but sure. I have one more question for you guys. Like we've been talking about this, and we're actually going to make a post on our Instagram about this, like to see what the world thinks. But obviously, you had an insane breakout year from Rafael Devers last year. I should know because I was the dumb idiot who dropped him on my fantasy team right before. All right. So I know all about Devers. If you guys are building a baseball team, who would you rather have, Rafael Devers or Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
Ooh. Oh, man. He had to throw. Oh, wow.
I'll let you take this. I'm going to be biased on this one. You guys are biased for yours. I'm taking Rafi because I'm biased. And damn, that's tough.
Rafi's 22. Vladdy is.
How old 21. Is Vladdy? Was 20 last year.
Yeah, he's got a year. You got a year on.
I mean, see, it's hard because like Vladdy is good, and so is Devers. And see, for us, the first Devers we got to see, he came off the bench in Yankee Stadium, 40-man roster, and Chapman's pitching, throwing like 102. And he hit a ball 400 feet oppo on him, like it was nothing. And so seeing that made him just special to me. So I'm taking Rafi. Yeah. How about you, bud?
I kind of had a moment to kind of process that. As much as I love and respect Vladdy Jr., I think he has a very bright future ahead of him. I'm going to go with Rafi. Let's not forget, Rafi does have a ring. He has postseason experience. And I think at the age of 22, he has a little bit of leadership that can exemplify through that because of his experience. So if I'm going to build a team based off of that, I'm going to have to take my boy Rafi Devers. But it doesn't mean I don't love Vladdy Jr. Absolutely.
And just one more thing. I would add that I don't see Vladdy staying at third base his whole career.
Oh, yeah.
I'm building a team.
Yeah, they decided this season anyways, like he's going to be primarily at first now.
We kind of expected that. And, like, we have prospects coming up that are going to be third basemen anyways. So it's like might as well make the switch happen.
Right. So I see another switch Friday in DH. Alonso, if I'm going to build a team, I just want to know I have that guy there instead of worrying about the other eight positions. And so, yeah, I would go with Devers on that point.
Same.
I think realistically, gentlemen, like there's honestly almost no wrong answer in that question because from my perspective, like I think that both of these players for the next like decade, we're gonna see a lot of good stuff come out of Devers. We're gonna see a lot of good stuff come out of Vlad, you know?
It's gonna be like Vlad and Devers show, like back and forth.
Yeah, definitely.
So we said we had our placing of our team coming in second, maybe first. Where do you guys put the Blue Jays at this year?
We made like a pretty realistic predictions. We put them at fourth,
just behind the Red Sox.
Yeah, just behind you guys. We had you guys at third. Like we put the Yankees winning the division. I hate that we did that. And then we got the Rays as well. Like the Rays pitching core to me, like their pitching staff is just so elite.
Could be built for them with their starters and their bullpen. The Rays could be scary.
Definitely. Yeah,
that's what's going to drive them. And when if Rays get into a postseason like series, you have three pitchers, you know, in the first series, you got four in the next. Like you're gonna dominate.
Yeah,
you're gonna dominate.
Definitely,
it is a lot. I think from our perspective, we just want our boys to go roughly 500.
Yeah,
if we have a 500 season, then that would. Great developmental year for our whole team. And then I think next year we're going to be coming in and people are going to be talking about us as more of a force, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Boys, right. I can't wait for the season, guys. Honestly, I want to beat you guys, you know? I want us to take
right back at you.
We're going to have a lot of fun. Don't worry, guys.
we should link up and do another like a recap video like after like a couple games.
Yeah, definitely.
See how the Jays are doing, you know?
Definitely after our first series for sure. We got to talk.
Absolutely, guys. It's been awesome.
Looking forward to it, man.
So lovely to talk to you guys. Fenway faithful. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep grinding. We love your stuff.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having us on.
Shout out to you guys. Thank you.
No problem, boys. Take care.
Later.
Take care.